Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is just a little bit away from Philadelphia, west of Philadelphia. But again, as in a couple recent episodes, I'm going much further west to Illinois, the first podcast we've done from Illinois, with, I think, my youngest guest yet. I'm very excited to talk with her. She's been viral on many videos and magazines, probably going to be on CNN and every other network soon, I'm sure, based on the trajectory of her school board election. Bushra Amiwala. Did I get that right, Bushra?
Yes, you did.
Awesome. And she is a newly elected member of her school board in Skokie, Illinois, correct?
That is correct.
I love Skokie. And we're going to talk about her story, why she ran for office, especially running in for school board, and hopefully encourage you as you're listening to run for office as well. So, Bushra, thank you for taking your valuable time to talk with me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me and for taking your valuable time to put on this series. I'm so excited.
So, you ran for office. I hate thinking that I'm old, but you are a bit younger than me. You are just 21 years old, right?
That is correct. I am 21. My ID is vertical now.
That's exciting, right?
It is. I was so hyped about it.
And you ran for school board not once but twice, correct?
So I actually ran for the Cook County Board when I was 19 and then was asked to run for the Board of Education after I lost that election.
So since you ran for two different things, what was, not that you need to know what you're going to do with your life at 19, but what motivated you to get involved in politics in general?
Yeah, so each time I decided to run, I was asked to run for public office, which I think was almost flattering in its own way. But prior to getting involved politically, I was very involved in different service-oriented organizations. So always cared about giving back to my community, about different respective issues that I was passionate about, but it wasn't until someone put things into perspective for me and said the best way to make long-term practical change is through public policy, which is where that interest came from. And that really sparked the beginning.
And so you got involved in, had you always, I mean, I want to say always again, you ran for school board and you, it's in the school district where you attended, right?
Yeah, it is. So I am currently, Board of Education member in the same feeder school district, elementary school and middle school district that I went to school in, that I was raised in. But prior to that, I used to go to a Chicago public school that was significantly less funded, a much more underprivileged area, and it was the disparity between the two education systems that I saw growing up that became a guiding principle for me and almost this passion for service. And I find that serving in public office is service work in its own very important way. And that perspective really helped a lot to shape this decision into running not once, but twice.
And so you ran, what was your election like? You know, looking around, the stories about you are about being only 21 years old, being one of the first Muslim young women running and winning. And while that's very important, I know what's important to you is to not just be the Muslim candidate. You have you have things that you care about. That's why people should run for office. What are what was the campaigning like? Were you able to get those issues out there?
So when I was running for the Cook County Board, this is when I was 19. This was 2 years ago almost, and I was very passionate about property taxes and the way that we should reform our current model. That way there isn't such a significant difference between certain communities and the quality of education one receives, because there was a very clear wealth gap between quality of education and those who had certain income levels. And I found that the root cause of that was property taxes, those that our schools are funded. And that was the main issue that I thought to run on when I was running for the Cook County Board of Commissioners. But what I found was that, you know, the media at different debates, at different forums, even just talking to day-to-day voters, what instead people found, whether it be more interesting or what people wanted to talk about instead, was how I wear a hijab. It's that how I'm a Muslim woman? Is that how I'm young? And I think all of that is exciting and it's new and it's different, but it almost distracted from the actual policy ideas that I wanted to bring to the table. So that's sort of how my first experience campaigning looked like as a whole. But also, ignorance is bliss. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and that's why I did it. And it was almost one of the best decisions that I made, because I think had I known as fully what I was signing up for in terms of running for office, I would have been so scared and turned off by it and not have done it. But I'd already committed to it at that point, which I think kept me going. So yes, it's hard. I tried Googling a simple how to run for office. Nothing came up and was really going with the flow and fake it till you make it. But it truly does work. And I think I found that a lot of people in the sphere felt that way, too.
Well, I'm glad you did it, and hopefully you're inspiring other people. Was your intention in doing that, did you realize you might be inspiring people in a positive way, especially, not because you have all these things that aren't a typical politician about you. Were you hoping to inspire other people to get involved as well in the political life?
I had no idea that me running for office would become a national thing. I had no idea that, you know, people in different like media outlets would be interested in my story. I never found myself to be that compelling until I started talking about it and realized how actually out of the norm and ordinary something like this was. And I think what really continues to inspire people is how my story is one of an ordinary person who was able to emerge into a position of extraordinary leadership with things that are tangible enough that we all can incorporate in our day-to-day lives. Relationship building, asking for things, being our most authentic selves. Like, these things I think are really exciting that it wasn't, you know, like, oh, I got lucky and, like, won the lottery, but it was, like, truly accounts of, like, hard work, persistence, and motivation that we all can incorporate in our day-to-day lives.
And did it get, what made it less scary as you went along? Because, like you said, there were all these things. You know, I'm a straight white male, age 18 to 45. The world's kind of set up for me. I will admit that I've fallen up as many times as I've fallen down. But you know, what did it just get less scary as you got responses? Was the community more receptive to your candidacy than you initially knew, or how'd that happen?
I think what made it less scary is that a lot of the work that goes into campaigning for public office, I found was stuff that I was doing anyways. So part of it came to going to events in my community. This was stuff that I was doing anyways. Like, I was always at these events. Like, I loved meeting people, staying involved. Like, was I the type of person that gets a little itchy if I have, like, nothing to do? And a huge part of campaigning is attending these events, is meeting those people. So it didn't seem like work. It didn't seem like I was campaigning for something, because these are things I was already doing. And the second time I ran for office, I ran for the Board of Education, and I found coalitions and found friends who were running in different offices or on the same municipal election. We all campaigned together. We showed up at one another's events, and I think we all had, you know, phone calls and would check in with each other and, like, really relate on a level that you just can't with someone else unless they've experienced it as well. And that made it significantly less lonely.
And that's very important, because as a candidate, even if you have a great volunteer base, which I saw you did, you can feel very lonely if you're not part of some kind of team, because no one gets your experience like you do.
Well, also, you can have all the volunteers in the world, but as a candidate, something that I suffered from my first campaign that I tried to be better about the second time was that I wasn't as authentic with even my volunteers, right? The people who are advocating for me, like boots on the ground, like knocking on doors, like talking to their friends and family about me. I feel like I would hold back as to how nervous or scared I was. I would pretend to be someone I was not, and then it wasn't until I was running the second time where I almost got that permission from all the other people that were true to, you know, the feelings that they were feeling, like that were very upfront about not knowing an issue or not being familiar or well-versed on something. And that is okay. No one knows everything. We're all learning along the way. And just because I don't know the answer to your question right now doesn't mean I can't do 10 minutes worth of, like, research and formulate a thoughtful response and opinion to what you just proposed. And I just thought that, like, running for office, you had to know everything and needed the answer to every question, every issue, and you could never be prepared enough for something like this. So just do it right now anyways, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally makes sense. I think one of the things I realized being almost 40 now, and you've all often obviously realized that, you know, being a lot younger, is no one knows what the hell they're doing. Everyone's just faking it.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. You have people in power who are, I'm not saying they're bad people, who are good people. Like, you know, my member of Congress, I like her a lot and I think she's very smart, but, you know, she's winging it as well in a lot of ways. She's got to learn stuff. She's got a staff, but she has a staff of a lot of people that can help her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a school board member, I don't have a single staffer that reports to me or, like, does anything like that. Like, all of the prep work that goes into our board meetings and everything is stuff that I do on my own. I think if I had I been elected onto the county board, I would have had staff, my office, and all of those people, and they would have been really different. But I think that's one of the reasons why, even though I was 19, I was like, I can totally run for this countywide seat and even hold it potentially, is because one was a board seat. So I would be one voting member representing my district on a board of 17. Mm-hmm. There were 17 board members for that seat. And it's Cook County, so it's the second largest county in the United States. So by no means am I trying to, like, reduce the size and the magnitude of the position that I ran for my freshman year of college. But I also knew that, like, I'd have staff that would make sure that I always know what I'm talking about, that would do the research behind the scenes. And although I would be pulled in many different directions, I feel like I would have been taken care of, as many of our elected officials are, which makes it less intimidating. So opposed to the contrary belief, yeah.
And how many people are on the school board where you serve now?
So on my current board, there are 7 of us. And one of the reasons why I even wanted to run for the Board of Education is because after I lost my Cook County Board election, I never thought I'd run for office again. It's really hard to have a public boss as such. You know, everyone would be like, oh, like, how'd your election go? You were running for something, right? And
it's
like, yeah, I lost. But 6 months later, I guess I picked myself up and decided, and the only reason I did that was because this race looks like it would be very easy to get elected to. It's a race that was uncontested for the past 10 years. No one really ran for it. There's 3 seats for election. 3 people would run. It would be, all of them would, you know, have a guaranteed spot. But my election year, 7 other people ran for the seat as well for the Board of Education. So I worked just as hard, which is good because now I feel like I earned it too, because I don't think that fulfillment would have been there.
Yeah, it's almost kind of disappointing when you go and someone says, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for you because you're the Democrat or the Republican on the ballot. It's always much more fulfilling when you find out someone's voting for you because you did the work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Very well said.
And so, but I imagine, I could be wrong, but I imagine that you are the youngest member of your council, right?
I am. Yes, I am, by quite a bit. But I think what I really appreciate is that none of the people on my board treat me different because of my age. I think all of them turn to me and, like, truly do admire and respect what I have to say and listen to my opinions in a wholehearted fashion/manner. And, it's not something that, like, I feel like they all truly care about what I have to say. And I think that's something I'm lucky to have on my board, that I found after talking to other young people who are in similar positions as myself, that they all aren't as lucky to have. So I'm really grateful for that.
Well, that's good. It sounds like you have a really positive vision of your community and the people you've served with, and I think we all want that. We don't all get it. But it's also school board. When was the election? Was it on the same day as the general election in 2018 for Congress and whatnot?
So that's when my Cook County board election was. My school board election was in April of 2019. So it was a municipal election that was just for, like, the local, like, trustees, the Board of Education seats, the different community college boards. So it was a very, very small election. And historical voter turnout for an election of this size was, like, 400 people. Even though the village that I live in, the Skokie, is quite large, voter turnout for this specific election historically is super, super low, which was a very hard challenge in its own way because I was convincing people to vote for me who had to first be convinced to come out to vote in an election like this in the first place, right?
Right. How did you convince especially younger people? It's so important to me that younger people care about school boards, because there are thousands of school board races in the country every election, and they're making extremely important decisions about where people live, and, you know, nothing against other people on school board, nothing against being 50 or 60 years old, but if they're not being represented by the diversity of the country, then it's going to misrepresent the country.
So I think what helped a lot was, as opposed to young people, I think it was easier for me to convince a young person the urgency of voting for me and ensuring that, like, my voice is on this table, is because I'm a peer, I'm one of you. You know that if you help, you know, pave the path and open a door for me, that's just making it easy for someone who also comes from a similar caliber, because it becomes more ordinary, becomes expected. But I actually found it a bit more difficult when it came to my school board election to convince people who no longer have children in the school district the urgency of this election. So, like, well, I'm not affected by the decisions the school makes anymore. Like, my kids aren't in school. Like, I really don't care about this. Like, get off my front lawn. But it wasn't until I positioned it in a way where I had to make them care about it. So, you know, like, 40% of their property taxes goes to help fund our school district. Don't you want to ensure you have someone fiscally responsible present on the board? Not to say that that wasn't happening before, but again, it's positioning it and shaping things in a way where you know your audience.
And obviously it's something you learn from running one time and then running another time.
Exactly, yeah. And I think what I learned the most is that, like, I have to be a multifaceted version of myself. I have to be able to present myself in 10 different ways to 10 different audiences based on what they care about. Yeah, I have to be that holistic candidate. Like, these 10 things are all things I care about and would have done anyways, but I should focus on one side of that based on who I'm talking to, which is interesting because, like, I would want to talk about everything with everyone that I mentioned. People would get bored hearing about, like, one part of the issue that didn't apply to them as much. And I figured that you really do have to win people over through one issue. You don't have to, at least what I found, get, like, the stamp of approval on, like, everything that you hope to do with a certain office, which, again, makes it a lot less intimidating and a lot easier to, I think, manage and control, too.
And I was looking up, because you've done one or two interviews, and the election you're on for schools, oversight is different than my school board, different than a school board in California or Oklahoma. So they all have kind of different oversight. What's the value of being on school board? Like, you know, it's not just something you put a notch on your resume. What are you able to do issue wise?
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. So the way that my school board functions is totally different than what it is in different states and cities, because in some cities, their school district, they just have one school board that oversees all of the schools in their city, and it's like a citywide school board district. For us, each school district has their own board. The elementary school district has its own board. The high school district has its own board. There are seven different elementary school districts that feed into one high school district, and each one of those elementary school districts has their own board of education. And as board members, our job at the highest level is to manage, oversee, and hold our superintendent accountable for the school district. So it's almost as though we are sitting in the balcony and just watching the school almost function. We don't really get involved in the day-to-day activities. So, for example, this is a misconception I had about the school district. If I am very passionate about implementing a certain type of curriculum into the students' day-to-day lives, I'm like, you know, for whatever which reason, that's something I wouldn't do. That's something I would write policy for that the board would then vote on, and then members to that new policy, whether it be through hiring a new teacher, developing that curriculum, and then our curriculum director takes it from there. So we sort of just write the rules that the school has to follow, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that's a winded way of describing it.
But that's you get to shape the direction of the school district in a way that other people can't.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have different voices at the table, because if everyone agrees on everything, I think that's not a balanced board. A healthy board has those different voices where there is a little pushback, because that ensures that the best idea is brought to the table, right? The best version of that idea. Because if everyone's on board from the start, I think on our board, we all try to play devil's advocate with each other for that reason. And whether it's unknowingly or knowingly, like, school board meetings can start as early as 6 p.m. and can go as late as 11 p.m., right? Yeah. Like, people get tired towards the end of a meeting, but I'm glad that, like, we don't compromise our quality of discussion and conversation on different topics and issues despite that.
Yeah, our council meetings rarely go past 8:30. So we're for sure. But you know, that's an important thing. I think that, you know, we have a 7-member council for our little Bridgeport board, and we might vote 7-0, but the vote wouldn't have come up at all if it hadn't been for a person bringing it up. So those different perspectives allow for something to come to a vote that wouldn't have otherwise. So what are the things that you think you bring idea-wise that might not have been there if you didn't get the chance to have your voice there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that question, please?
So I was saying that, you know, we have 7 members on our borough board in Bridgeport, PA.
Uh-huh.
And even though we vote 7-0, the idea may have come up from someone, and so it wouldn't have come up at all. It wouldn't have been a divisive vote, it just wouldn't have come up. So what are some things that you may bring up that may not have come up if I was there, or someone else was there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so an example being, I'll talk about the most simplest of issues and examples, just because there's something that I would think is, like, so in your face, like, clear, like, of course we should have this, where I was shocked to hear the different other members on my board, and when I hadn't even thought about these things. So one example is the issue came up, like, we should have our school board meetings recorded and posted online so anyone can do them. I was like, of course we should do that. It's 2019. Like, it's pretty easy to record something. Like, we should put it live stream. Like, I had all these ideas in it. And then the person on my board said, well, I don't think we should record these videos and post them online. I think that we have the agenda, that's good enough. I think that there's lots of costs associated with recording these videos. I think that people may be uncomfortable with the camera in the room and knowing that the meeting is being recorded and blah, blah. And I was like, wow, but to me, like, I would find that whether there's a camera in the room or not, like, all of us as, you know, conscious, accountable beings would act and function in one way, whether there's a camera or not. So it's interesting that something as simple as, like, we should record our meetings and post them online had so many different, one, perspectives and ways to view this issue, but two, like, other sides of this issue that I had given zero thought to. I didn't even think about how expensive the cost of something would be. I was like, oh, like, could we not just take a camera and record it? And they're like, no, like, something just, like, the audio has to be right, like, you have to hire, like, a tech person to ensure it's, like, edited and put on. And even, like, the simplest of issues just have different sides and ways to view it. And again, like, I'm glad that the board functions in a way like that, but something as simple like that. And something that I do hope to bring within the school district is that we have our school lunches, for example. About 20% of our students in our school district actually identify with the Muslim faith as well. Hmm. And we have about 15% of the students that identify with the Jewish faith. So we have kosher food that's provided as an option, but we don't offer halal food, for example. So opening the doors to that conversation and that discussion just to promote inclusivity, especially if those populations are present in our district, so in accordance to that. So that's something I hope to stay accountable to be a true representative and to be reflective of my constituents and the people that live in this school district.
Yeah, that's my son just started kindergarten. He's 5 years old, and I I didn't see the diversity of my community until we went had orientation. Like, I've gone door to door and I've met people, and you know, I don't want to say that as a criticism of myself, but like, when everyone goes to school, they don't come to council meetings. So, you know, you see that our district is very diverse. And so I had I not been there, might have not considered certain issues that if you were on our council, you would consider in a way. And that's maybe that's why more people should run for office, right?
That's exactly why more people should run for office, because I think that everything that anyone can say has value, right?
Right.
Like, someone might think it's ridiculous. Someone might think, like, why are we talking about this? But if you never know what idea can spark something that could change someone's life. And I think that's the power we all inherently hold.
And you have unwittingly, like you said in one of your interviews, developed this national profile. You were talking about how your fellow members you serve with might be intimidated by a camera, but, you know, someone from Bridgeport, Pennsylvania is talking to you, so not that I'm that interesting. So, you know, how is that, how would you like to use your new platform? What would you like to get out there and encourage now that so many people are learning your name?
Something that I actually hope to do now that I had never given thought of before was, again, like, similar to what the entire purpose of your podcast is to promote the urgency and really reasons why all of us have to get involved in the most local levels of each of our government now.
Right.
Like, the urgency behind that, like, why we all literally cannot afford to wait. Like, that's actually what my TED Talk was about, but I think I wasn't as direct in that talk about, like, how we all should now run for office. Like, I don't think I had an as clear call to action, but I think now that if I was to, it would be that we have to pay attention, right? We have to get involved. And I think running for office, yes, can be intimidating, but I think that a lot of us allow ourselves to make something like that seem greater than it actually is. And the reality is, it really is ordinary people stepping up to leadership positions, driven by strong passion. And I think if that's the core of what holding office entails, we all would be surprised to how many people fit that box. So we should have contested elections. It's healthier that way. It leads for stronger and more thoughtful discussions. And I think that's the best version of government.
I agree. And I think it becomes less intimidating when you have resources like Run for Something. I know you've been involved with them. And you go and you see that there are hundreds of candidates every cycle. It's their first time. So, and everyone else that's ever won election, they had to do it their first time. So, you know, it doesn't have to be as intimidating because there are so many people that, like the person you first ran against, that want you to succeed.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I never would have expected someone like that to become a mentor or friend or someone like that of mine, but there are really, really well-intentioned people involved in politics and in local government, and that's exactly where the space is for many others to get involved in as well.
Yeah, and so if you're listening and you have an interest, you should consider running for office, no matter where you are, from Skokie to Philadelphia and everywhere in between and outside. But if you've run for office, or maybe you're not interested for whatever reason, or you should become a mentor, right? Are you planning to become a mentor in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I have had so many mentors in my life, and I think I maybe tossed the word around too much, but I would be thrilled to be a mentor for someone and anyone, and I think mentorship doesn't have to be an ongoing thing. I think if I can mentor someone in even just one conversation enough to have an impact or influence their decision-making, that's a job well done, too. I think this podcast, in a way, you know, could mentor someone to decide to run for office or something, too. So I think mentorship is something that it can be viewed in smaller, more just digestible ways than just this ongoing relationship aspect, too. Because even that, like, where do we start? Where do we find a mentor? How do we begin? But we are all mentors and allies to one another, too.
Yeah, you say you throw the word around a lot, but it's good because we should all become mentors in our own way, even if it's in small ways. The best thing we can do in politics, one of the best things is to lift other people up. Because otherwise, we're just if you're not lifting people up, you're indirectly pushing people down.
And even that aspect of one of the reasons why I pushed so much that we shouldn't focus so much on my identity, on my faith, and just what I look like is because I don't want to be the token in the space. I don't want to be the only Muslim woman doing this. I don't want to be the only young person doing this. Sure, it's exciting to be the token. It opens the doors for, I'll admit, a lot of opportunities, but everyone wants to know the connector. And I think we should all strive to be bridge builders. And this is selfish advice that a mentor has given to me, right? Don't be a token. Be someone that lifts other voices up. If it bothers me that I'm the only Muslim woman in the room, what am I actively doing to change that? What am I other voices to the table so I'm not the only blank in that room? And that's something that I hope to abide by as well.
And hopefully you're clearly giving a good example for others. And so hopefully other people who aren't Muslim, are men, and aren't young, you know, will see that and see the value of having these perspectives so that it's not only up to you to recruit other young people, young women, more Muslim candidates, that people like me will say, these are voices we need to lift up because they're not being heard enough.
And that's exactly how we can all be allies to one another. It's looking around the room and seeing a voice that maybe underrepresented or not, like literally like not represented in the room, and what all of us can actively do to ensure that that is present and that perspective is valued. And exactly, that's how we all can become mentors and allies to each other and promote inclusion in every space, and really get value out of that as well.
Well, I've learned a lot, I've gotten a lot of value of talking to you and being inspired by you. I hope that people listening will be inspired to get involved and either run for office or be a mentor or lift up some other voices. Before we go, are there any resources or last messages you'd like to share to inspire other people to continue?
Yeah, I was also helped by this pilot show called Run the Series, and they are five boss ladies that come, and their goal is to actively seek to transform a female candidate's campaign, and their leadership and mentorship and resources and such really helped my school board campaign as well. And you can follow the show is not like live or on Home 10 Network just yet, but their trailer is live and public on their show. So for those specifically women who are hoping to run for office that maybe don't know where to start or looking for that push and that guidance, Run the Series is also casting. So maybe the boss squad, what they call themselves, are that golden ticket.
Awesome. Well, send me the link and so I can share it along with this. And I am sure that we are going to hear a lot more from you in the future, and that you will not be there by yourself.
Thank you. And thank you for your leadership and for taking the time to uplift voices like mine and encourage others to get involved in the political space. We really need more people like you, too. So thank you.
Great. Good luck in your success. And if you're listening, please look back and listen to some of our other podcast episodes, including people from Wisconsin and Oklahoma, New Jersey, New York, and, of course, Pennsylvania, and a few places in between. Email me at tonyheil, T-O-N-Y-H-E-Y-L, @gmail.com. Bushra, how can they follow you on Twitter?
It's @AMIWALA 2018. I'm sure if you just Google my name, all of my social media pops up, and I'll happily follow back to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You have a great day, and if you're listening, maybe you should run for office, too. Thank you.
We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight. We would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We certainly hope you all enjoy the show. And remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there's still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody. Everybody. Someone to love. Sweetheart and Mills. Sugar and Kiss. I need you.